Schemes or devices to overcome impotence are as old as history. Potions have been drunk, gods have been invoked, lotions have been applied, witchcraft has been employed, honey and spices have been blended, all for the purpose of producing impressive erections. Stimulants, or hoped-for stimulants, have ranged from carrots and peas, parsnips and herbs, to powdered animal horns and ground-up genitals. The world's rhinoceros population, in fact, was almost wiped out because of a number of Asian cultures' belief in the aphrodisiac powers of powdered rhino horns. This belief still exists among some people, and poachers still kill rhinos for horns worth $1,000 apiece. The danger of extinction of the endangered animals remains very real. Furthermore, man's search for foolproof sexual fulfillment has literally covered the globe, in the vain hope that there was some particular place where sexual shortcomings could be cured. Ponce de Leon, for instance, discovered Florida while in search of a fabled fountain of youth, which meant just one thing: eternal potency. Today, medical science has found answers to impotence, and while we stay closer to home, we're still turning to potions and powders and devices. Now, however, we call them medications, and they are quite practical, not to mention scientifically proven reliable. The number one medication in the 20th century, for example, was Viagra, sildenafil citrate, which made its debut on March 27, 1998, when the Food and Drug Administration announced that the diamond-shaped blue pill was available for treatment of impotence of various types. Other modalities for treating impotence include penile injections and penile prostheses, which are surgically implanted devices. Of course, a patient should consult a urologist before embarking on any treatment for impotence. First, let us talk about Viagra. Before its introduction to the public, it went through numerous randomized, placebo-controlled trials involving more than 3,000 men with various degrees of impotence stemming from such diverse causes as diabetes, spinal cord injury, and history of prostate surgery, as well as patients with no identifiable organic cause of impotence. These patients also suffered a wide range of other illnesses, including hypertension, coronary artery disease, and diabetes. In the trials, the men using Viagra reported success more often than those using a placebo, and the rates of success increased with dose. Further, the findings were consistent in men representing a wide variety of causes for erectile dysfunction or impotence. Before the introduction of Viagra, medically legitimate options for impotence sufferers centered on a limited, invasive, and expensive range of treatments, including surgically inserted penile implants, vacuum pumps, injections of vasoactive drugs, and suppositories inserted into the penis by way of the urethra. Viagra is the first oral treatment ever approved for impotence, and by far the most natural way to treat this disorder. It works by simply boosting the chemicals involved in the natural process of erection, allowing the user to respond naturally to sexual stimulation. If there is no sexual stimulation, Viagra does nothing. If there is sexual stimulation, an erection occurs in most patients. Hence, the patient certainly has more control over the erection than he would with vasoactive drugs, with which an erection is triggered immediately upon injection and is sometimes inconvenient. As far as side effects from Viagra, mild headache, flushing, nasal stuffiness, some stomach ache, and mild and temporary changes in perception of colour and light have been reported. Most healthy men can take Viagra, although it is not recommended for men who are currently taking nitroglycerin, as the combination may lower the blood pressure below acceptable levels. As a urologist, I treat and have treated a wide variety of men. All of them want to live and love to the fullest of their ability, and no matter how much one tries, it is very difficult to ignore that physiologic process. Impotence can rob a man of his ability to express this urge which is so important for his well-being. Unfortunately, with age comes a slower, weaker sexual response and a decreasing ability to sustain an erection long enough for sex. It is precisely because Viagra can help all of the problems of the aging, be they incurred by prostate surgery, spinal cord injury, diabetes, or vascular difficulties, that it is hailed as a wonder drug. For whatever reason, though, Viagra may not be for every man. Other options are available. The Erector Injector is a drug that will cause the penis to become erect for from 1.5 to 3 hours, long enough to sustain intercourse. It is a treatment for impotence and has been effective with about 80% of the men on whom it has been used. The drug is vasoactive, meaning it works on blood vessels, and is available only by prescription. It has been effective for patients with diabetes, heart or neurological problems, and for those who have had radical prostate surgery. The patient himself injects the drug directly into his penis. The process is becoming more acceptable, though it does present certain disadvantages. Instruction and counselling by a physician are required, and inexperienced patients could place the injection in the wrong place and scar the penis. Also, it is generally recommended that the injection-type therapy be used no more than twice a week. Another interesting complication is that an injection erection may not fade after a few hours, in which case an emergency call to a doctor is in order. Although it is somewhat expensive, the erector injector is less expensive than surgical implantation of a penile prosthesis. Mechanical devices are also an option for impotent sufferers. Constriction devices, including ones utilized in conjunction with vacuums, are being more widely used by patients who are not surgical candidates or who refuse surgery, or for whom medications such as Viagra are not an option. These apparatuses either block the outflow of blood from the penis, constricting blood vessels at the base of the penis, or, in the vacuum type, draw blood into the penis, trapping it once it is there. These devices should be used only as frequently as advised by the manufacturer. Implants, of which there are several kinds, employ artificial tubes called penile prostheses that are inserted into the penis to do the work of natural tubes, corpora cavernosa, which ordinarily fill with blood to create an erection. They fit precisely into the chambers and fill them completely. These prostheses have been developed within the past 25 years, and with success their use has expanded dramatically. Thousands are in use in the United States and around the world. These prostheses fall into two basic categories. Solid tubes, in pairs, are made of silicone rubber with or without metal inserts, not enough metal to set off an airport detector. The implants remain rigid all the time, providing a perpetual erection as large and full as a normal erection. This has the advantage of preparedness, but the disadvantage of being difficult to conceal in clothing. Some carry 5 or 10 year guarantees. Inflatable prostheses also come in two types. Both use hollow cylinders that may be inflated to erect positions by pumping up a self-contained sterile fluid. In one type, fluid, reservoir, and pump are all carried within the cylinders themselves. Erection is achieved by working the cylinder pumps. In the other type, fluid is held in a reservoir implanted in the abdomen and is forced through a network of silicone tubing into the cylinders by operating a pump implanted in the scrotum. Implant operations for both solid and inflatable prostheses are now relatively routine. In fact, the solid implant procedure may be performed on an outpatient basis. In either case, sexual relations must be suspended until approved by a doctor, usually after 4 to 6 weeks. Other than slight, quickly disappearing post-operative discomfort, implants are popular, and men using them have few complaints. Consider Charlie, who as a hotel night clerk often had time to contemplate his woes and the fact that he wasn't getting any younger. His troubles began, or more specifically his sex life ended, with a cancer operation 4 or 5 years earlier. He read about penile prostheses, came in to see me to further investigate, and ultimately decided to have one implanted. He did nicely. I didn't see him again for a few weeks, but when we did meet, I saw a very different Charlie. He was nattily attired and sporting a new hairstyle, topped off with a jaunty tam. He had a spring in his step and a glint in his eye. The psychological change was jarring. Charlie wasn't the same man. He was a guy on the make, and there was no doubt about why. He boasted that he had recently entertained a lady friend, and while making love to her for 45 minutes, brought her to the first climax of her life. His prosthesis had given him a self-confidence he'd never had, even before his cancer operation.